There is no composition in this news that gives them credit.
Indeed, they are disproportioned. My letters say 107 galleys.
And mine 140.
And mine 200. But though they jump not on a just account, as in these cases where the aim reports tis oft with difference, yet do they all confirm a Turkish fleet and bearing up to Cyprus.
Nay, it is possible enough to judgment. I do not so secure me in the error, but the main article I do approve in fearful sense.
What ho!
A messenger from the galleys.
Now, what's the business?
The Turkish preparation makes for Rhodes. So has been reported to the state by Signor Angelo.
How say you by this change?
This cannot be by no assay of reason. 'Tis a pageant to keep us in false gaze when we consider the importance of Cyprus to the Turk. And let ourselves again but understand that as it more concerns the Turk than Rhodes, so may he with more facile question bear it, for that it stands not in such warlike brace, but altogether lacks the abilities that Rhodes is dressed in. If we make thought of this, we must not think the Turk is so unskillful to leave that latest which concerns him first, neglecting an attempt of ease and gain, to wake and wager a danger profitless.
Nay, in all confidence, he's not for Rhodes. No.
Here is more news.
The Ottomites, reverend and gracious, steering with due course for the Isle of Rhodes, have there enjoined them with an after fleet.
Aye, so I thought. How many, as you guess?
Of 30 sail. And now they do re-stem their backward course, bearing with frank appearance their purposes towards Cyprus.
Towards Cyprus?
My lord,
it's certain then for Cyprus. Marcus Lucicos, is he not in town?
He's now in Florence.
Write from us to him. Post haste, dispatch.
Here comes Brabantio and the valiant Moor.
Valiant Othello, we must treat him for you against the general enemy Ottoman. Yes, I did not see you. Welcome, gentle senior. We lack your counsel and your help tonight.
So did I yours. Would your grace pardon me? Now that my place in the wrong, I heard a business. Nor must the general care take hold of me, for my particular grief is of so floodgate and all-bearing nature that it engluts and swallows other sorrows, and it is still itself.
Why, what's the matter?
My daughter. Hmm? Oh, my daughter.
What is daughter?
She is abused, stolen from me, and corrupted by spells and medicines bought of mountebanks. For nature so preposterously to her, being not deficient, blind, or lame of sense, sans witchcraft could not.
Where he be that in this foul proceeding hath thus beguiled your daughter of herself and you of her, the bloody book of law you shall yourself read in the bitter letter after your own sense. Yea, though our proper son stood in your action.
Humbly I thank your grace. Here is the man. This Moor, whom now it seems your special mandate for the state affairs hath hither brought.
We are very sorry for it.
What in your own part can you say to this?
Nothing, but this is so.
Portents, grave and reverend seniors, I very noble and approved in that I have taken away this old man's daughter, it is most true. True, I have married her. The very head and front of my offending hath this extent, no more. Rude am I in my speech, and little blessed with the soft phrase of peace. For since these arms of mine had 7 years' pith, till now some 9 moons wasted, they have used their dearest action in the tented field. And little of this great world can I speak, more than pertains to feats of broil and battle. And therefore, little shall I grace my cause in speaking for myself. Yet, by your gracious patience, I will a round, unvarnished tale deliver of my whole course of love. What drugs, what charms, what conjuration, and what mighty magic. For such proceedings am I charged with her. I want this daughter.
A maiden never bold, of spirit so still and quiet that her motion blushed at herself. And she, in spite of nature, of years, of country, credit, everything, to fall in love with what she feared to look on? It is a judgment maimed and most imperfect that will confess perfection so could err against all rules of nature, and must be driven to find out practices of cunning hell why this should be. I therefore vouch again that with some mixtures powerful o'er the blood, or with some dram conjured to this effect, he wrought upon her.
To vouch this is no proof without more wider and more overtest than these thin habits and poor likelihoods of modern seeming do prefer against him.
But Othello speak. Did you, by indirect and forced courses, subdue and poison this young maid's affections? Or came it by request, and such fair question as soul to soul afford her?
I do beseech you, send for the lady to the sanitary, and let her speak of me before her father. If you do find me foul in her report, the trust, the office I do hold of you, not only take away, but let your sentence even fall upon my life.
Fetch Desdemona hither.
I think that this is the question.
Enter it. Conductor, you listen to the place. Until she come, as truly as to heaven I do confess the vices of my blood, so justly to your grave ears I'll present how I did thrive in this fair lady's love, and she in mine.
Say it, Othello.
Her father loved me, oft invited, still questioned me the story of my life, from year to year, the battles, sieges, fortunes that I have passed. I ran it through even from my boyish days to the very moment that he bade me go, wherein I spake of most disastrous chances, moving accidents by flood and field, of hairbreadth escapes of the imminent deadly breach, of being taken by the insolent foe and sold to slavery, of my redemption thence, and with it all my travels' history, wherein of Antar's vast, deserts idle, rough quarries, rocks, and hills whose edge touch heaven, it was my intent to speak. Such was the process. And of the captains that each other eat, the anthropophagi, men whose heads do grow beneath their shoulders. Here were Desdemona seriously in his life. But still, the house affairs would draw her thence. Whichever she could with haste dispatch, observing, to once a pliant hour, and found good means to draw from her a prayer of earnest hearts that I would all my pilgrimage dilate, whereof by passing she had something heard but not intended. I did consent, and often did beguile her of her tears when I did speak of some distressful stroke that my youth suffered. My story being done, gave me for my pains a world of sighs. She swore in faith to a strange, was passing strange. It was pitiful. It was wondrous pitiful. She wished she had not heard. Yet she wished that heaven had made her such a man. She begged me. This hint, I speak. She loved me for the dangers I had passed, and I loved her. She did. This only is the witchcraft I have used. Here comes the lady. Let her witness it.
I think his tale would win my daughter too.
Yes, yes.
Good Brabantio, take up this mangled matter at the best. Men do their broken weapons rather use than their bare hands.
I pray you hear her speak. If she confess that she was half the wooer, destruction on my head if my bad blame light on the man. Come hither, gentle mistress. Do you perceive in all this noble company where most you owe obedience?
My life and education both do learn me how to respect you. You are the lord of duty. I am hitherto your daughter. But here is my husband, and so much duty as my mother showed to you, preferring you before her father, so much I challenge that I may profess due to the Moor, my lord.
God be with you. I have done. Please it, your grace, on to the state affairs. I had rather to adopt a child than get it. Come hither, Moor. I here do give thee that with all my heart, which but thou hast already, with all my heart I would keep from thee. For your sake, Jewel, I'm glad at soul I have no other child, for thy escape would teach me tyranny to hang clogs on them. I have done, my lord.
Let me speak like yourself and lay a sentence. Witches agrees or step may help these lovers. When remedies are past, the griefs are ended by seeing the worst, which late on hopes depended. To mourn a mischief that is past and gone is the next way to draw new mischief on. What cannot be preserved when fortune takes patience, her injury a mockery makes. The robbed that smiles steals something from the thief. He robs himself that spends a bootless grief.
So let the Turk of Cyprus us beguile. We lose it not so long as we can smile. He bears a sentence well that nothing bears but the free comfort which from thence he hears. But he bears both the sentence and the sorrow that to pay grief must a poor patience borrow. These sentences to sugar or to gall being strong on both sides are equivocal. But words are words. I never yet did hear that the bruised heart was pierced through the ear. I humbly beseech you, proceed to the affairs of state.
The Turk with most mighty preparation makes for Cyprus. Othello, the fortitude of the place is best known to you. And though we have there a substitute of most allowed sufficiency, yet opinion, a more sovereign mistress of effects, throws a more safer voice on you. You must therefore be content to slobber the gloss of your new fortunes with this more stubborn and boisterous expedition.
The tyrant custom, most grave senator,
the flinty and steel couch of war my thrice-driven bed of down. I do acknowledge a natural and prompt alacrity I find in hardness, and do undertake this present war against the Ottomans. Most humbly, therefore, bending to your state, I crave fit disposition for my wife, due reference of place and exhibition, with such accommodation and besort as levels with her breeding.
If you please, be it at her father.
I will not have it so.
Nor I.
Nor I. Most gracious Duke, to my unfolding lend your prosperous ear, and let me find a charter in your voice to assist my simpleness.
What would you, Desdemona?
But I did love the Moor, to live with him. My downright violence and scorn of fortunes may trumpet to the world. My heart subdued even to the very quality of my lord. I saw Othello's visage in his mind, and to his honors and his valiant parts did I my soul and fortunes consecrate. So that, dear lords, if I be left behind, a moth of peace, and he go to the war, the rights for why I love him are bereft me, and I a heavy interim shall support by his dear absence. Let me go with him.
Let her have your voice. Vow to be heaven. I therefore beg it not to please the palate of my appetite, nor to comply with heat, the young effects in me that hunt, and proper satisfaction, but to be free and bounteous to her mind. And heaven defend your good souls, that you think I will your serious and great business scant when she is with me.
No. When light-winged toys of feathered Cupid seal with wanton dumbness my speculative and uffish instrument, that my disports corrupt and taint my business, let housewives make a skillet of my helm, and all in dine and base adversities beg head against my estimation.
Be it as you shall privately determine, either for her stay or going. The affair cries haste, and speed must answer it.
You must away tonight.
Yes.
Tonight, my lord?
This night.
With all my heart.
At 9 in the morning, here we'll meet again. Othello, leave some officer behind, and he shall our commission bring to you, and such things else of quality and respect as doth import you.
So please your grace, my ancient, and he is of honesty and trust. To his conveyance I assign my wife. With what else needful your good grace shall think to be sent after?
Let it be so. Good night to everyone, and noble signor. If virtue no delighted beauty lack, your son-in-law is far more fair than black.
And you, brave Moor, use Desdemona well. Look to her, Moor, if thou hast eyes to see. She has deceived her father, and may thee.
My life, your father, may.
My Desdemona must I leave to
my wife and your daughter. Bring them after in the best advantage. I hope that our love and our growth in my direction has been on your good. We must pay the time.
When to live is torment. Then we have a prescription to die when death is our physician.
Deliverance. I have looked upon the world for 4 times 7 years, and since I could distinguish betwixt a benefit and an injury, I never found man that knew how to love himself. Ere I would say I would drown myself for the love of a guinea hen, I would change my humor with a man.
But what should I do? Confess, it is my shame to be so fond. It is not in my virtue to amend it.
Virtue? It is in ourselves that we are thus or thus. Our bodies are our gardens, to which our wills are gardens. So that if we will plant nettles or sow lettuce, set hyssop and weed up fine, supply it with one genre of herbs or distract it with many, either to have it sterile with idleness or manured with industry, why the power and corrigible authority of this lies in our wills. If the brain of our lives are not one scale of reason to poison another of sensuality, the blood and baseness of our natures would conduct us to most preposterous conclusions. But we have reason to cool our raging motions, our carnal stings or unfitted lusts. Whereof I take this, that you call love, to be a sentence, sir.
It cannot be.
It is merely a lust of the blood and a commission of the will. Come, be a man. Drown thyself. Drown cats and blind puppies. I have professed me thy friend, and I confess me knit thy deserving with cable perdurable toughness. I could never better steady than now. Put money in my purse. Follow thou the walls. Defeat thy favor with a new serpier. I say, put money in thy purse. It cannot be long that Desdemona should continue her love to the war. Nor he his to her. It was a violent commencement in her. Thou shalt see an answerable sequestration. Put but money in my purse. These boys are changeable in their wills. Fill thy purse with money. The food that to him now is as luscious as locusts shall be to him shortly as bitter as colony. She must change for you. Later with his body, she will find the errors of her choice there. Put money in thy purse. If thou wilt needs damn thyself, do it a more delicate way than drowning. Make all the money thou canst. Sanctimony and a frail thou betwixt an erring barbarian and a super subtle Venetian be not too hard for my wits and all the tribe of hell. Thou shalt enjoy her. Therefore make money. The box of drowning thyself, it is clean out of the way. Seek thou rather to be hanged in compassing thy joy than to be drowned and go without her.
Wilt thou be false to my hopes if I depend on the issue?
I have told thee often, and I retell thee again and again, I hate the more. My cause is hearted, thine is the less reason. Let us be conjunctive in our revenge against him. If thou canst comfort him, thou dost thyself a pleasure. And me, a sport. There are many events in the womb of time which will be delivered. Traverse, go, provide thy money. We will have more of this tomorrow.
Where shall we meet in the morning?
At my lodging.
I'll be with thee betimes.
Go to, farewell. Do you hear, Roderigo?
I'll sell all my land.
Thus do I ever make my food, my purse. For I, mine own gained knowledge, should profane if I would time expend with such a snipe. But for my sport, profit, I hate them. And a distort abroad that twixt my sheets is done my office. I know not if it be true, but I, for mere suspicion in that time, will do as if for surety. He holds me well, the better shall my purpose work on him. He was a proper man. Let me see now, to get his face and to plume up my will in double knavery. How? Let's see. after some time, to abuse Othello's ears that he is too familiar with his wife. He hath a person and a smooth dispose to be suspected, framed to make women false. The Moor is of a free and open nature, that think men honest, that but seem to be so, and will as tenderly be led by the nose as asses are. I have it. It is ended. Hell and night must bring this monstrous birth to the world's light.